the field of Democratic candidates running for president is now at 20, with former Vice President Joe Biden getting in this week. He made it official yesterday in an online video focusing on the violence at an August 2017 white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia.
I believe history will look back on 4 years of this president and all he embraces as an aberrant moment in time. But if we give Donald Trump 8 years in the White House, he will forever and fundamentally alter the character of this nation, who we are, and I cannot stand by and watch that happen.
A Politico Morning Consult poll this week has Biden leading the Democratic field. It also has him ahead of Trump, 42% to 34%. So where does the race go from here? Mordecai Lee is a professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. Mordecai, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, with 20 candidates, what is a voter to do? How do you start to sort out who is pulling for what, where they are on the issues, who you like as a candidate? This is a challenge for voters, right?
Well, you know, I think it's wonderful. It's like walking into 31 flavors and just sort of being delighted by the choices that you've got. You know, some voters choose to vote for somebody who they just sort of intuitively like. Some voters like to vote for a candidate who, let's say, they're ideologically compatible with. There are all these different cross-cutting criteria, and there's no one criteria that's right or wrong. And so I think for voters in the Democratic primary, it'll just be a delight that they can just sort of taste the field and find somebody that they're a perfect fit for.
And before we get into some of the particulars in this race, with a big field like this, what do you look for from the media in trying to let voters know who's out there, who they are, and what they stand for?
Oh, Rob, that's the $68,000 question, and it's the perfect question. Because the media so blundered in the Republican primary for president last time around, giving so much exposure to Trump and essentially ignoring everybody else. My sort of suggestion, partly tongue-in-cheek, is that we ban reporters from ever saying polls show, and we ban reporters from ever saying the horse race looks like. In other words, let's have some traditional journalism where every candidate gets treated equally, not with a kind of a top tier versus a kid's table, or so-and-so raised X million of dollars in 24 hours, and that means that he or she is at the top of the field.
What do you want to see instead of that, though? That's the don't do list. What kind of stuff do you want to see us do?
Oh, God, you're a persistent reporter.
I'm going to take notes here, Mordecai. Tell me my job here and all of us.
Well, I mean, the easy problem is that if you've got 20 candidates and you want to do a substantive piece on how do they feel about Medicare for all, you have to do 20 segments. You have to do 20 paragraphs. I mean, I suppose you could do a shorthand version of it. So in these number of candidates, and then you name them, say they're for Medicare for all, including abolishing private health insurance, whereas these people want to talk about expanding access to private health insurance coverage. There's got to be a way to do some generalizations, but sometimes it seems like political reporters just hate substance. They hate policy. They're bored by public policy. And that they're always looking for excuses not to cover things. And I mean, I'll just mention one candidate. I think Elizabeth Warren is a very interesting candidate in the sense that she's put together some very unusual and cutting edge policy proposals. And, you know, I'm not endorsing her. I'm not trying to give her favorable coverage. But, you know, when she talks about what to do about Facebook or what to do about Apple, I think that deserves attention and for us to know how the other candidates feel about those kinds of issues.
That reminds me, one concern people have raised is there's been a lot of focus on Joe Biden even before I get into the race. Bernie Sanders, of course, Beto O'Rourke, Pete Buttigieg, getting a lot of attention. People are saying, wait a minute, a lot of the guys in this race are getting a lot of the headlines and the women not as much, even though they may have higher profiles coming into the race, even they may have more developed policy platforms. Do you see that?
I sort of see it. I think Senator Harris from California got a bit of a bump when she declared and got a bit of a distinctive coverage. Maybe if we go back to other races where there were big fields, sometimes there's almost like a flavor of the month, mm-hmm. You know, a kind of who's the hot candidate this month. And in a sense, there's nothing wrong with it as long as everybody gets to share in the attention, as long as every candidate sooner or later gets to be flavor of the month. But I'm sure that some of these candidates will flame out. Some of the candidates just seem like they're such long shots that it's hard to believe that they would break through. But on the other hand, Jimmy Carter was the Jimmy Who when he ran for president, and he eventually got the Democratic nomination in that case and got elected president. So we shouldn't poo-poo the lesser names. And I'm glad that the DNC is not going to do a kind of adults table, kids table for the debates, but rather we'll do like two debates night to back to back, night to night, with all the candidates having a chance being either in the first or the second.
Talking to Mordecai Lee from UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker, about the big field of Democratic candidates. Well, Joe Biden is the big news right now. He just got into the race. He was a heartbeat away from the presidency for 8 years there. What does he bring to the table when it comes to policies and ideology within the Democratic Party?
Well, I suppose we would describe Biden as sort of an old-fashioned Democrat in the sense that he comes from that old coalition of labor and liberals. Where it was labor unions, blue-collar, white ethnics, together with sort of liberal activists who sort of dominated the party and really dominated the nominating process for all those years. So I guess he harkens back to that era, and in the sense that he did come from a blue-collar family. He grew up in blue-collar Pennsylvania. Gives him some of those credentials. He apparently is very good with people. He's very comfortable around people. People like him. But on the other hand, maybe it's a kind of a absence makes the heart grow fonder, in the sense of that he hasn't been on the scene for 4 years, and so his positives are way up compared to when he was vice president thinking about running for president. And his negatives and his positives were, as I recall, tied. I think it was like 39-39. So it's really hard to judge these mood swings of the voters, and so hard to judge. Here we are 9 months before the first votes will be cast in Iowa and New Hampshire, that anything can happen. That's an eternity in political time.
Now, President Trump spent a good amount of time with Sean Hannity of Fox News last night. He was asked about Joe Biden getting into the race. Here's a listen.
Well, I think we're calling him Sleepy Joe because I've known him for a while, and he's a pretty sleepy guy. He's not going to be able to deal with President Xi, I will tell you. That's a different level of energy and, frankly, intelligence.
Now, Mordecai, in that crowded Republican field, candidate Donald Trump did seem to have a knack to label his opponents in one simple derogatory way, and it seemed like make it stick. Is that something that can work for him with this, trying to do it cross-party in a crowded Democratic field?
Well, he's a marvelous showman. I mean, you just sort of have to watch him because you never know what's the next thing that's going to come out of his mouth. And he's very entertaining, really brings show business to the White House. But I'm not sure if that'll stick. When he described one of the candidates, I think it was Jeb Bush's low energy, I think that was unreasonable, but the media loved it. And so the media repeated it until it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. And just from afar, I'm not sure that anybody has an impression that Joe Biden is low energy or lazy or slow or whatever it might be. For a guy to be a U.S. senator and then to be vice president, you can't be the way Trump is trying to describe him. And I don't think we should let the president of one party really make a caricature stick to a candidate from the other party until it's down to a one-on-one race.
And I want to spend a few moments on the idea of not just a Democratic primary field. There is talk of a Republican primary challenge. There is a Republican primary challenge. William Weld, a former governor, former Libertarian vice presidential candidate. There's talk of some higher profile candidates, Larry Hogan from Maryland, John Kasich from Ohio. What do you think could happen? What would you watch for if there were a substantial primary challenge to the president?
Well, I think that's relatively unlikely to be significant. After all, for example, 1972, President Nixon was running for re-election, and he had two opponents, one challenging him from the right and one challenging him from the left, and they just went nowhere. And the Republican Party, and generally speaking, parties in America, will defer to an incumbent. I mean, unless you have a situation of like Lyndon Johnson, who probably, had he stayed in the race, would have been defeated for the nomination, I think it's very unlikely that modern day politics, especially modern day Republican politics, would really have any appeal going in that direction. So I think we should assume that by the time we get to the primaries, and especially by the time we get to the Wisconsin primary in April, so a year from now, that all the action will be on the Democratic side. And given that we have an open primary, I think by then all the voters are going to want to vote in the Democratic primary, because it's hard to believe there'll be a substantial Republican primary.
We're talking about the 2020 race for president and the growing field of Democratic candidates with Mordecai Lee from UW-Milwaukee. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're looking to vote for a Democrat, which one do you most support and why? Do you focus on where they stand on issues, your thoughts on their leadership, their conduct, their composure, their past? If you are a Republican, is there a candidate that worries you who you think would be a formidable opponent for President Trump? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the 2020 race for president with Mordecai Lee, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee and former state lawmaker. We've got this growing Democratic field, former Vice President Joe Biden now officially part of it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you looking for in a candidate if you were thinking of voting in the Democratic primary a year from now-ish? What are you looking for? Is there an issue that's going to motivate you? Is there a element of character that motivates you to pick a Republican or a Democrat, for that matter? And what kind of questions do you want to hear answered by candidates for president? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. John is with us in Appleton. John, hi.
Yeah, the question I have is, where do all these people go on climate change? And why, when you have increasing interest in this issue with all the fires, that when you have a candidate like Governor Jay Inslee of Washington State, who, you know, he has a background in the state legislature, U.S. House of Representatives, as state house governor, and he's, you know, a decade or more focusing on this issue, and it's like the press has this whole primary system. The press covers what the rest of the press is covering. They don't go out and try to provide a broader picture.
John, thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, Governor Inslee making climate change the central issue of his campaign. And Mordecai, I remember people after the elections last year looked back at the presidential debates and found very little or no questions about climate change in most of those debates. Do you think, Mordecai, this is going to be an issue that gets more focus this time around?
Well, I'm so glad that John called, because John is the perfect example of how the big Democratic field is a good thing for voters. John happens to be somebody who really cares about climate change. That's his number one issue. So he's got a candidate who's saying that it's his number one issue. So that's a perfect fit. I'm guessing that most of the Democratic candidates have relatively mainstream views about climate change, in the same way that Republican candidates have a relatively consensus position of the Republican Party against climate change. But the fact that Governor Inslee stands out, I think there are going to be Johns all around America who are going to rally around him, just like there are going to be other people with other number one issues rallying around the other 19 candidates.
And if I may reference polling, Mordecai, I think I've seen some polling that suggests that younger generations, millennial voters, for example, climate change tends to rank higher as an issue for them. Do you see that maybe as part of a Democratic effort at younger voter outreach?
There's no doubt that various policy platform issues can appeal to sort of different demographics, whether we're talking about dividing them by age or by geography, by ethnicity, whatever it might be. But either way, there is a consensus position on climate change for each party. And so can Governor Inslee break out with that one issue? Can he create a network of citizen activists in the states with the early primaries so that he can break out, or at least that he can then stay alive as the field is shaking out so that then he can be a contender later on? That's going to be the dynamic essentially for most of the candidates. they've got their marketing plan, to put it blandly and blankly, but the question is, will it work? In other words, is the younger generation going to hear his message, in this case about climate change, and will they vote for him, and maybe otherwise they would not have voted at all?
Thanks a lot for that call, John, at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Rob with us in Monroe. Rob, hello. Rob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
All right.
How you doing?
Yeah, what did you want to bring up, Rob? Rob? Okay, I'm not sure what's going on with Rob there. Mordecai, let's talk about what's going to be a big issue for Democrats and whoever ends up being the Democratic challenger to President Trump, how they talk about President Trump. We heard that clip from Joe Biden there earlier, definitely making President Trump a key issue for him in the race. What do you expect to see when it comes to targeting the president versus, their own policy platforms trying to present a positive image of themselves?
Well, I think it's going to come down to whoever the final nominee is, if they're hot or cold when they talk about Trump. In other words, are they as hot in their rhetoric of their disdain for him at a comparable level and comparable vocabulary the way he tends to communicate? Or will they be relatively cool about it? They won't get provoked. They won't get into any arguments. They won't get into a kind of a he said, she said, but rather the fact that they're not Trump would be enough for them to appeal to that part of the Democratic electorate.
We're talking to Mordecai Lee, professor at UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker, looking at the 2020 presidential race, the growing Democratic field, and how they will sort themselves out. Still time for you to join in, if you'd like, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Michael on the Facebook page, Mordecai. He writes, it will be interesting to watch the debates, curious to see each candidate's platform. How important, Mordecai, do you think the debates will be? And you mentioned there's no kids table at this one. How important are those going to be for candidates who are trying to stand out from the pack?
Well, I think it's the opportunity of a lifetime kind of situation that a guy, a voter like Michael, can see all of the candidates within two nights all being asked a question about, fill in the blank, climate change, President Trump, impeachment, Medicare for all, whatever the issue might be. And I don't think citizens have any trouble deciding who they like and who they don't like. So I think the debates, as Michael is hinting, will really make a difference, will really help candidates present themselves to the undecided primary voters.
Thanks for sending that in, Michael. Mordecai, in this Democratic field, we've got a former vice president, sitting U.S. senators, members of Congress, governors, mayors, a couple of mayors. That's a pretty wide range of experiences there. Do we have a sense of what background, what a resume tends to lend itself to a Democratic candidate?
There used to be a conventional wisdom that being a U.S. senator was a great platform to run for president. John F. Kennedy was a U.S. senator. But if you look back, generally speaking, in American political history, being a governor has more often than not been a helpful platform because a governor has executive experience. A governor has an experience that's very different from a U.S. senator. A U.S. senator just votes on bills and makes statements on the floor of the Senate. And so it's possible that governors will have an advantage because they'll be able to say to the voters, I know how to do this. Look at what I did in my state. But nonetheless, this is just so hard to predict. I think it's anybody's race to win and anybody's race to lose.
All right. So 20 candidates on the Democratic side, Mordecai, and I've checked my math a couple times here. 0% of them are from Wisconsin. Now, we've had Scott Walker run for president. We had Paul Ryan on the ticket for vice president. Why are we not seeing national figures emerge running for president from here in Wisconsin? That's my curveball for you today.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for that one. I think it's just the serendipity of politics in the sense of that there was a moment in time when sort of the stars aligned and Governor Walker was viewed as a serious candidate for president when Congressman Ryan was selected out as a congressman to be the vice presidential nominee. Reince Priebus being the chief of staff to President Trump. these things generally don't get driven by geography in the same way that they were driven earlier in American history, where sort of being from Ohio was considered an important thing. Now, Ohio just isn't that much of a player. I'm sure there'll be future candidates from Wisconsin, but this time around, it doesn't look like it.
All right, Mordecai, thanks, as always, for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Anytime, Rob. Thank you.
We've been talking to Mordecai Lee, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker. He joined us for a look at the growing field of Democratic candidates running for president. Stands now at 20, with former Vice President Joe Biden getting in yesterday. Who do you want to win the presidency in 2020? And what are you looking for in a candidate? What questions do you want to see them asked and get their answers for? What issues are important to you? What characteristics, resume, character, background, comportment, what are you looking for in your next president? Let us know on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR. Coming up Monday on Central Time, many communities in Wisconsin and around the country rely on volunteer firefighters, but they're often having trouble finding recruits. We'll check out the problem and some possible solutions. A new report from a law firm suggests that there may have been widespread sexual abuse in the Boy Scouts organization. We'll talk to a reporter who's been following that story. And a therapist shares her story of seeking therapy herself and what she learned about humanity along the way. We'll meet the author of the new book, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. That and a look at some of the top news stories of the day, as we always do. That's all coming up Monday here on Central Time.